and the water is contaminated. And so, well, last week 140 people have died, but that's gone up, 1500 infected, and we're counting. Dirty water kills more people of African ascension than all forms of violence combined, including war. Hello, Sister Zilly?
Hello?
Oh, hi. Sorry about that. I'm really sorry. Yes, so, am I clear to you?
Actually, I can't hear you at all on the phone, but I actually can hear you
on the internet. Okay. So just for the viewers, that's why we have a delay. So I'll say something, and she's listening to the feedback on the internet, and that's why there's the gap. That's how we did it with Dr. Aris. So Sister Zilly, thank you for coming onto the show. I've just been telling the listeners who you are: human rights lawyer, writer, dancer, and very passionate about her people and helping them through these difficult times. So we missed you last week, and I'd just like to go back to the fact that there's been this cholera epidemic in Haiti. And we just want to know, really, how does cholera begin?
One of the reasons you missed me last week is because I was doing the learning about this cholera for the Esli Dato Network, which I run, and the Haitian Lawyers Leadership Network. On October 19th, there were cases of cholera in Haiti. Haiti has never had cholera before. It's a waterborne disease where water that has been infected by fecal matter, and then people eat it or drink it, eat it by eating food that's cooked with it or fruits that's touched by this water, then they get this cholera disease, which is a disease that gives you consistent diarrhea until you become so dehydrated, and eventually, if you are not rehydrated, and you continually vomit, and you continually pass, then you're going to die. And so far in Haiti, since October 19th, the figures are there's 337 people that have died, and about almost 5,000 people are hospitalized. The last week, and I'll bring your viewers to my website. You can read the last two or three pieces, because this is what I was doing last week, which was one of the reasons I couldn't really participate in your show. Finding out exactly how this happened and what it was about and how to educate the people so that they could try to be as safe as possible. And that's really what we were trying to do last week. It turns out, as of today, the Center for Disease Control, CDC, the American Center, went down to Haiti last week, and they have, as of today, said that the strain of cholera that is in Haiti is not Haitian, that it was imported into Haiti. But coming from the last week to today, it's been an amazing journey for Haitians, because obviously the international community was constantly denying that they imported this disease into Haiti, along with all their other importations. And so what I can tell you is that as soon as this disease hit, the Minister of Health, the first thing he said was that Haiti has never had cholera before. However, the mainstream news was saying that Haiti had never had cholera for a century. So they were just making it up. And then eventually they started saying, well, Haiti has never had cholera since we were keeping records in the 20th century. But the bottom line is, we really had to push. And as you know, one of the work that I do is counter whatever the narrative that the international community is doing, so that we can have a Haitian voice that will counter some of their colonial narrative. And so as this this process was going on last week, we got a call from the mayor of a town in called Mirabel. And what your audience must understand is that the cholera outbreak did not happen in the capital of Haiti, where there's almost 2 million people on the streets since the earthquake. There's, 98% of the rubble is still there. The people are living under tents, tarps, and sheets. It's the hurricane season. And as you just said before, we have Hurricane Thomas, which they're predicting will have a direct hit in Haiti by this Friday. We're hoping, of course, that somehow the winds and so forth and the gods or whatever, that it doesn't hit Haiti, but it's supposed to hit Port-au-Prince, where the people are on the streets under these fragile sheets, mostly, tents and tarps. Now, a couple of points I want to make very quickly, since I can't really hear your questions. So let me just say that, yes, I got a call. I wrote my first piece on this on Friday, and like I said, the first thing happened, the first I heard about it was the 19th, and it's in the rural area of Haiti. Not, the international community, everyone has been saying since the earthquake, they need to get the people off the streets in Port-au-Prince where the earthquake hit, and because of the crowded conditions, of course, because of the unsanitary conditions of, having between, as you look at, some people say it's 1.5, some people say it's 1.7. We say at the Haitian Lawyers Leadership, there's nearly 2 million people on the streets, they are living in the most amazingly unsanitary, unprotected sort of a living condition. And we already have spoken ad nauseum about the fact that the international community had pledged a lot of money, and none of it has gotten to Haiti, no rebuilding, no so forth. But everyone expected that there would be an infection because of so many people being on the streets and vulnerable and sick. There was about 300,000 people that were hurt from the earthquake. That's in addition to the 300,000 people that died. So you had all of this fragility within the capital, and everyone was expecting that there would be sort of the diseases like that sort of common to Haiti, like malaria, HIV, and TB, and those types. No one expected, as the Minister of Health said, cholera, because Haiti has never had it in its history. But it hit in the rural area, and by this weekend, we started getting information from Haiti that the people of Mirabel, which is a town in the rural area, were complaining that if this disease was about fecal matter getting into the water, they wanted journalists to come and see how the Nepalese base that's in Haiti was leaking its toilets, pipes were leaking straight into a river called the Mai River, which actually runs into the big Artibonite River in that area. And all the people that have died so far have died, to the best of my knowledge and the information I have, below the river, below that sewage. Anyways, by the end of this week, we got photos from AP and Al Jazeera, which are on my website at the Esmeralda blog. If any of your audience wants to see it, of because the UN came out and said no, it wasn't our soldiers. The Nepalese soldiers did not import this. We take their excrement, whatever, and we have a Haitian subcontractor that empties the septic tanks, and they empty it. This is the UN on Tuesday. In a declaration that they made in a statement, when the people in this town, including the mayor, were accusing them of throwing their waste, their raw sewage, right into the river that people washed their clothes, drank their water, and so forth and so on, and they were of course denying it. But by Thursday, AP and Al Jazeera have absolute pictures of this. They saw the raw sewage going into the river. They saw, actually, there's pictures on the internet, and you can find them on my website, EzriDelpro.blog, where they saw the contractor that the UN is using to empty these septic tanks, would then put it into a landfill, it looks like, and that landfill was right on a slope that's right above the river. And then you also saw the truck emptying its sewage directly into this body of water. What's significant about that is that Nepal and most of the Indian countries that are in Haiti right now with the UN's 14,000 soldiers that are in Haiti making $760 million a year, which is more than $50 million a month.
And the misery of Haitians.
These people who came to secure us have now given us a disease, and according to the UN, they said that this disease is in our system now, and it may kill tens and thousands, and everyone keeps talking about if it gets down south to where the earthquake folks are in the south of Port-au-Prince, it may kill who knows what, because there are millions of people in the streets. What we say at the Haitian Lawyers Leadership is that this is not just about the Nepalese soldiers who themselves, came here. And what's important about them, the connection, the reason why the connection to them is so great was, number one, there's a crime. One way or the other, you do not come to someone's country and take your fecal matter and put it into their river and contaminate that river, whether or not it has cholera. But the reason why folks believe it does have cholera is because there was an outbreak this September of cholera in Nepal, and those soldiers were enslaved. I don't know if you're hearing me.
Yes, yes.
You are? Okay. Those soldiers, there was a contingent over there in Mirabel next to this river. Those soldiers were replaced between October 8th and October 15th. By October 19th, we had the cholera outbreak. And up until today is the first
really
day that a group of epidemiologists who went down to Haiti from the CDC, today they have said they have identified this. Now, the Minister of Health of Haiti have already said that the strain that's in the cholera strain is coming from outside of Haiti. It's not Haitian, and that it's the same as the one that's in Nepal. But up until today, the international community was not legitimizing that. But today, the CDC said that the strain. Now, they didn't say anything about Nepal. They basically said that the strain is non-Haitian, and that it's from Southeast Asia. I want to point out the countries from Southeast, Pakistan is also in Haiti, and they had a cholera outbreak. Nepal is also in Haiti. Nigeria has a cholera outbreak, and they're also in Haiti. So that's the news with regards to the cholera.
So not to sound, conspiracy theory and... Why do you think this is all happening now? All these countries are having cholera outbreaks one after the other, and Haiti is getting a really big brunt of a very big stick.
Well, I really know nothing about Nepal, Nigeria. But I can speak of Haiti and say that... they've imported to us a disease, intentional or not intentional. We have a fragile population, and they haven't said that it was the Nepali soldier, but as I obviously have told you, it is criminal to put your sewage in a river that people bathe in and so forth. So that,
yeah, it sounds very intentional to me.
Cholera is a endemic diseases in places where there's a lot of poverty and there's not good sanitation systems. It's a disease that's easily cured if it's caught on time. It's not like, you know, HIV where you go through life with it and you can die and so on. It's a disease that eats away at your intestines. And I guess part of, just to answer your question, I'm just guessing that, you know, the other countries that have it also are countries who are very, very poor and have very bad sanitation conditions. And it really comes out. What happens is that when the heavy rains come along, because that's what happened to us in Haiti, it looks like that's what happened to us in Haiti, that these folks came in, they had this disease. They say that 75% of the people who actually contract this intestinal disease from drinking toxic water, unsanitary food that's washed in toxic water, don't show any symptoms. So these soldiers, you know, may not have shown any symptoms, but when they purge themselves, that stuff is infectious, and it gets into your water system. And what happens is, it is spread through the rainy season, and as you know, I wrote that piece, I Can't Stand the Rain.
Yeah.
In the last couple of weeks, it's been raining. We've had, you know, close hurricanes that almost came to us. We have storms that have killed people. At least 12 people have died so far. So whatever or wherever that disease came from, and what they're saying that it came from, you know, infected food or infected water or an infected person. You know, if it's infected food, infected water, you know, the rainy season, and I think that also is the same in those other countries. We're all in that tropical season countries, like are like Nigeria and stuff like that. You know, they have a dry season and a wet season, and we're in our wet season. It carries waterborne diseases. We've never had that in Haiti. We've really never had waterborne diseases in Haiti. And if we had it, and this is a point that I make in all my interviews since this happened, I want to bring your audience's attention that in 2004, we're used to hurricanes in Haiti. Okay, so if we had cholera in Haiti, we would have had it already because we're used to the wet season and hurricanes and flooding. And if you guys remember, in 2008, 2 years ago, there was an amazing storm, four back-to-back storms, and they were, you know, so heavy in their damages, about a billion damages in the north. And people in one particular city, the city of Guanaípe, were underwater. There were 350,000 people. They were underwater. You can still see the pictures if you go to YouTube and just put in Guanaípe. I mean, literally underwater. So if we had cholera then, that's when you would have known about it. So that's why we say that it didn't exist in Haiti until very recently and sometime after the earthquake. And one of these international folks who came to help us brought us some. They're helping us to death, 337 deaths. And though they say there are almost 4,700 people in hospital, remember 75% of the people who get infected have no symptoms. So it could be as high as 15,000 people who are infected, but we don't know. We only know those that they're recording that's in the hospital.
Whew, that's a lot. Thank you for letting us know that. I just want to ask you in terms of the hurricane, you said that it could have been stopped if it's caught earlier. How can you stop it if it's caught in time?
Okay, I didn't say the hurricane can be stopped.
No, the cholera. Cholera.
The disease obviously could have been stopped. I actually wrote a piece that said that cholera was preventable, and I do mean that. And I mean, it's a waterborne disease, and you get it by drinking dirty water. Yeah. So we have a situation in Haiti, and I'll tell you why. I'll give you an example. Okay, as everyone knows, I was a lawyer for President Jean-Bertrand Aristide, the one that the Bush administration deported back to Africa. There was a point in time in 2002 where there was a President Aristide had a loan of about $500 million from the Inter-American Bank in order to bring water infrastructure to Haiti. And that loan was approved. That loan was ready to go. He was paying it was a closing on it. They were paying interest on it, and the loan was to specifically the Artibonite area in the Central Plateau area in the north is where this outbreak and most of the people have died. Those people are very close to the Artibonite River. The Artibonite River feeds Haiti's breadbasket. Where, you know, we grow our rice and our various staple foods and so forth. So the loan from the Inter-American Bank to Haiti in 2000 and, well, he was elected in 2001 or so, was about bringing clean water, you know, putting down pipes and bringing clean water to the people in that area, specifically around St. Mark. The United States Bush administration pushed the Inter-American Bank not to release that loan to President Aristide because they wanted to squeeze him out of power and make him so unpopular that he would have no support. And so Haiti was paying, I remember, $25,000 per month interest on a loan that it never received for water infrastructure. So that's one reason why I say this is preventable. If we didn't have a situation where the U.S. was always trying to destroy Haiti, I just gave you that particular one example, but I can give you many, many more. Then, you know, another example, just right now after the earthquake, I have a video on my same website I'm telling people to go to, Esri Deltal blog, and you see the today, right now, since the earthquake, Haitians in the camps have been complaining about stomach aches, and we interviewed many of the Haitians since January 12th because I run the Esri Deltal Witness Project, where I have young women and men in Haiti who actually talk to folks so that I can speak to the international community and be their voice and say, you know, give them and say, you know, stuff that you're not going to find in CNN or Fox News. And they've been saying, listen, you know, the water tank that comes from the Red Cross is not drinkable. I have a video where the first time it was said was around, like, I got that video on, like, 2 months after the earthquake. A woman was saying, hey, listen, you know, this water, because there was a man asking, you know, what has the topic was, what has the Red Cross done with the money that we've given to help Haiti? And the woman pointed to the water tank that was in her camp, and she said, this water is Red Cross water. You see the name? It says Red Cross, but it's not drinkable. When I drink it, I have a stomach ache. So that's another reason why I'm saying that it was preventable. Why are the Red Cross giving Haitians in the camps water that's not drinkable? Okay, now that was a question that Al Jazeera actually asked a Red Cross representative just very recently, and I have that tape also on that same website. And the Red Cross representative said, well, we tell them to boil it, or we tell them to buy bottled water. Now, so there's a lot of reasons why Haitians are getting sick, you know, we don't have to go into conspiracy. These are just facts. The Red Cross is giving them water that's not drinkable, and yet people like you and others who are listening are giving money to the Red Cross so that they can provide water for folks, you know, water, medicine, and shelter for folks who were, you know, thrown out of their homes in the worst natural disaster that has modern history has recorded so far. So. But the Red Cross has only spent 30% of the $500 million it's collected, and it looks like even the water they're giving the people is not drinkable water. Now, I'll just give you a third example why this is preventable, and it's 10 months after the earthquake. 10 months. The earthquake happened January 12, 2010. Billions of dollars have been spent in Haiti, okay? Number one, the United States is claiming it spent $1.3 billion. And it's saying this in Congress, and I want folks to understand that that money didn't go to Haitians to give them clean water. That money didn't go to Haitians to lift up one piece of rubble. That money didn't go to Haitians to lift up one Haitian and save one Haitian life. No. That money went to the American military. 20,000 American military landed on our heads on January 14th, 2010, on 72 hours after the earthquake. And they did not help save Haitians. They did not help remove rubble. They did not help rebuild Haiti. They did not help lay one pipe for clean water. The only thing they did was stand and make sure that the Haitian people did not rebel and get rid of the current government that or the international forces that is oppressing it. So that's why they came, and that's what they did. So the money never, I think half a cent of that money went to the Haitian government. So basically, altogether, just on a global scale, I think in my first piece, it was called, I was writing it on Monday, the day I was supposed to do your interview. It was called, Is Cholera Imposed? And in that piece, I have a quote. I don't have it in front of me. Your audience can go look for it. It's the second. And in that particular piece, I say that many, many diseases can be, more people died from drinking unclean water in the world than from war. And so, you know, if the United States and the international community had really wanted any relief for Haiti, the first thing they would have done, the very first thing they would have done was clean water. And if they had done clean water, okay, in the last 10 months,
minimum,
then we wouldn't have had this cholera standard outbreak.
Wow. We're just in the studio here, having heard what you've said, and we know that, you know, the Americans can do some really crappy stuff, but it's just amazing that that they're doing this. You know, that you've been through a hurricane. Sorry, you've been through an earthquake. Now they've put, and it seems to me that it's been very deliberate. I know that you're saying it may be an accident, but I don't know how it could possibly be an accident if Haiti has never had cholera before, and it's imported from Southeast Asia. They're getting Haitians to pay $25,000 interest on a loan that they've never had. The Red Cross water is undrinkable. The money for charities for Haitians goes to the American military. They haven't laid pipes. There's no clean water, you know, and the hurricane's on the way. What are we? Okay, so in terms of the hurricane, so they're doing all these things to Haitians now. And is there anything that the Haitian government is doing to try and protect Haitians from the hurricane that is on the way?
You know, I've been so involved in pushing with regards to the cholera. I can't answer that question direct. I mean, I really don't know. I know that we've been sending out to people in Haiti that the hurricane is coming. It's going to come. Supposedly a direct hit on this Friday. I don't know what they're doing on the streets of Port-au-Prince, because I've been in the north with regard to the cholera outbreak recently, you know, in the last week, really, just, and then also pushing to get mainstream media to go talk to that mayor, to, you know, all the stuff that you see now. Believe me, if we did not push, if Haitians did not push, they would have just said this came from the diseased Haitians. So it's been very stressful for us. Just to get to the point of now, they can't deny that Haiti didn't have cholera and that it was imported. Of course, now, you know, there have this stuff. you know, back in the day when I was representing President Aristide, President Clinton was president, and I remember a theory he had. It was called plausible deniability. And I think that, you know, the international community is going to find a way to not have criminal negligence put on its head, because it is criminally negligent to do what they just did, at least with regards to this raw sewage. And they have many bases in Haiti, so we don't know how many of those bases are similarly negligently disposing of their waste on our people's heads. I mean, they're basically, you know, putting their excrement on our bodies. So
that's disgusting.
But the UN right now supposedly is investigating the UN. And I say, I called members of the
That's
Haitian government that I did know, I do know, and I said, you know, it's not possible to allow the UN to investigate the UN to tell you whether or not the UN is guilty. So what I was told, what the Haitian government is doing with respect to at least the cholera thing, in terms of the investigation as to where it came from, so that we could particularly protect our people better. I was told last week that the Haitian government is working with the CDC from America. It's named doctors. We work with some doctors abroad, and there was a delegation of them, and that they are going to do the test, and they are going to do the whatever the investigation. But the UN is so supposedly the Haitian government is doing its own testing. It's testing the Artibonite River. It's testing the Mile River. I don't know to what extent they're ever going to make their tests available, because the CDC has now made its results available, and it's basically saying that the strain is non-Haitian, and the strain came from Southeast Asia, but it's a common strain, and, you know, there's a lot of, like, plausible deniability. They're basically saying that they don't know, they may never know because of global travel how it got to Haiti. So that's basically where we are with regards to that. But the idea of the UN, but the UN is still supposedly investigating this flagrant, gross negligence of putting fecal matter into the Artibonite River, which is the breadbasket where, and we, you know, you can imagine the repercussions from that. This is where our rice grows, and this is where you know, Haiti feeds its people, and also some of the stuff is exported. So for probably how long will it take before Haitian food can ever be exported? Some of the repercussions so far, I can tell you, is that the Dominican Republic at some point last week closed their borders to the small, closed their borders, period. And there's a market on that border up in the north, Dabajon, it's called. And, you know, hundreds, if not thousands of Haitian go to this sort of combined Dominican Republic market, and they sell their goods. But it closed on the Haitians. Because the Dominican Republic is afraid that the Haitians are bringing in cholera. So, and who knows, you know, maybe, you know, we have already experienced that at the beginning when there was AIDS, the U.S. Disease and control people basically said, you know, Haitians were AIDS carriers until Haitians got up and protested that gross discrimination. So we don't know. Now, you know, the thing is, we may not be allowed to travel because we're cholera carriers. So those are some of the things that we know is coming down the road. And that was one of the reasons why the Haitian leadership worked so hard this week to push to get Al Jazeera, to get AP, to get all of these people. I mean, we were the first one to come out and say, this is important. Because the newspapers who were quoting the Haitian ministers of justice wasn't in English. So we translated it and sent it out internationally and kept pushing, because it's critically important As you know, Sister Chi, that I've written about MS and the idea of depopulating Haiti. So we have our eyes wide open.
Yeah,
we know alpha. That they would rather destroy than develop Haiti. We know that. I mean, we've experienced it. We lived it. We're living it right now. So we're very straight about that. That our death is
their vision
intended. But we won't be able to prove it because the world has been given this image of the Americans and the Europeans as somehow being civilized individuals who don't commit genocide. So it's like that plausible deniability. You know, I don't know if you remember when President Clinton was in office, he had an affair with a young intern.
Yeah, Monica.
And he kept saying, "I did not sleep with that woman."
Yeah. We remember.
Really, you know, she just
bare-faced lie.
But he got the same result if he had slept with him. You know, so it's the same thing in Haiti, and I say it straight up. Okay, they are killing us. Plausibly, they just put the conditions there so that it can happen, so that they can have plausible deniability. But at the end of the day, it's the same result. Haitians are dying.
Sister Zilly, you sent me a video of a Max Pure 01 system, a pretty amazing piece of technology. Is it possible that those pieces of technology would be... Okay, first of all, could you just explain what a Max Pure 01 is and why it would be such a good piece of technology for Haiti?
Oh, yes. When this first hit... Okay, I gotta take you off the internet. Hold on. Yes, I did. What I was trying to say, initially when this cholera happened, the first thing we were thinking about is, what is it that's needed? And what's that needed is clean water. Right now, Haitians need, if we're going to save people's lives, this disease dehydrates you totally. You need clean water. And so there are technology. We wanted to show that there is technology that that provides clean water. It's a mobile. This is a mobile unit, and I don't know I don't know the manufacturers. I'm not endorsing them or any of that. I just wanted to show that if anyone was really interested in saving Haitian lives. We can't do it because we don't have $300,000 because those units cost between $100,000 to $300,000. But they will give you 30,000 gallons of water. And they will, that's a whole city right there.
Just one machine?
They're solo run, and they also provide communication and electricity. So that's one unit that provides three things. First of all, it's green because it's solo run. Second, it provides, it's sustainable because it's not like giving someone a bottled water or giving, which is disposable, be over after you drink the bottle, or a pill, which is, also disposable. This is about taking water that's not drinkable, putting it through the system, and making it drinkable. So imagine, in Haiti, if you had four or five of these units, we wouldn't have any problems with, people not having water. And I wanted to give a solution immediately before I went through the process of how did this get here, and so forth. So those are the two things we did first, is that we went looking for the solution. How can Haiti get quick? Obviously we need infrastructure, we need pipes laid down, we need, all of that. But right now, what's the short term that could be done? And this Max Pure, it's in my first piece, and in it, I show this. When I asked the company, I didn't ask directly, but one of my folks at the Haitian Lawyers Leadership did look into it, and they called the company, and the company told us that they had one or two of them that were purchased by the Red Cross, but the Red Cross is not bringing that to our communities. It had kept it over in the so-called green zone, where the hotels are and the charity workers are. They're the ones that have access to this.
Oh, wow.
They're not bringing it to the areas where the city where the camps are and the poor are. So I wanted to give anyone who wanted to know how to help people who are having this cholera in Haiti, I wanted to give them an idea of something that is sustainable, something that Haitians could use right this moment to save lives, to stop, because they're saying tens of thousands of people will die. And if it actually hits the 10 cities, and we already know that the Red Cross is giving them dirty water to drink, and we don't know what that means, you know, if it's something, if it's a slow genocide, what is it? Because, you know, we haven't had anyone test that water that the Red Cross is giving them, but we know that it does give people stomach aches. So those who have resources, who may be listening to my voice, who want to avoid this genocide, Haiti needs clean water, and there are technology where, like this mobile unit that could go from, like, in one day, it could go to four or five different cities and provide 30,000 gallons of water and save lives of people right now who are drinking dirty water, getting sick, vomiting, and not being able to rehydrate.
Sister Zilly, last week we spoke to Dr. Aris. He's one of the, you know, we speak to him most weeks. And I did ask him about the situation in Haiti. What kinds of foods could people in Haiti eat if there isn't enough water? And he talked about the fruit, you know, tree fruit, because it doesn't require water to wash it. It's under a skin, you know, fruit like mango, coconut water, he was saying, was much better than water. And I don't know the layout of Haiti. So is that possible that people could, you know, go to these places where the coconut trees are growing and mango trees and fruit trees, fruit from the trees are growing, and eat those to get their water content?
No, actually, according to what I've been reading, the ministers of health is asking the people not to eat raw foods, because apparently it has to be washed in water, and so they're afraid that water is not clean.
Yeah, but like mangoes and coconuts.
That's one of the things. But I understand why he would say that. But that's basically what the Minister of Health is saying. We did also, and I'm not a doctor, but I looked up and I put it on the website in the same space that you know. Right after the video showing the Al Jazeera showing the Nepalese soldiers trying to contain the leak of their toilets, lime juice. Haitians now I understand that lemon and lime juice are things that will help the stomach and sometimes stop this the spread of this to the point where it makes you so sick. There's other stuff that you can use, herbal remedies. But lemon and lime juice is very important.
But what about coconut water? You don't need to wash that.
It's not toxic. Rehydrating, there's a sort of a process of rehydration. I don't want to say what it is because I don't have it off the top of my head, but it's something about, it's like water with sugar and salt or whatever it is. That's what they're giving the folks at the hospital. But in terms of what people can do at home, we are telling Haitians to drink lemon juice, to drink lime juice. There's onions and some other things that anyways, I have the list of things that they say are natural treatments for cholera. A clove, but all of these things, herbal black tea, they have to be, you know, obviously, you know, cooked or done in clean water. So that's
Sister Zilly.
Some of the things that we've said. Now, obviously, the coconut a drink is wonderful. You know, hopefully, you know, it's not contaminated. I don't know what the so this stuff is coming from contaminated food. So also, not just contaminated water, but contaminated food. And so I think it's water. I think that means it's food that's soaked in contaminated water. So, and I don't know if the rains in any ways would affect the coconut trees with this contamination. I just don't know that. But I would just, think that, that sounds like something that would be better than drinking something else.
Sister Zilly. So what I'm, you know, the rain, I don't think the rain would have an effect because the contamination comes from human beings that are on the ground. And so the contamination goes into the water on the ground. So the water that falls from the sky is going to be as good as we get in terms of water. And so the fruit from the trees, Dr. Aris was saying that he was once in an area that had a cholera epidemic, and the way that he survived it was to eat fruit from the trees, like coconut water and mangoes and any fruit that has a skin that you eat the fruit inside, because if you eat the fruit inside of the skin, then water is not required to wash the fruit before you eat it. Just those kinds of fruits, not fruits like apples or pears, but fruits like oranges and mangoes and coconuts and those kinds of fruits, bananas, where you peel a skin and you eat the fruit inside. And he was saying that that is what saved him and got him through the cholera epidemic that he was in when some time ago. I don't remember what country. I think it was in Tanzania. So I just wanted to pass that on to you because he was talking about that to us last week and we didn't get a chance to talk to you because you were busy, you know, with all this work that you were doing. So I wanted to ensure that you got that information and see if it's possible, if you have those coconut trees and those mango trees and those banana trees, that, you know, really to encourage people to pick the trees, pick the fruit from the trees and not eat anything from the ground. That's probably the safest bet because we have that all that natural food there, which doesn't require anybody to give us any money just to go and pick.
Yeah, I mean, that sounds logical. I'm only saying that I know what I read that the minister was saying, asking Haitians not to eat raw foods, but maybe that didn't mean fruit.
Yeah, I think he needs to be specific, because just to say raw food, it means people will just automatically assume there's that they can't have anything. But there are, you know, safe options. And apparently, yeah, coconut water is, you know, if there's coconut trees anywhere, then I would go to them and drink that coconut, stick that straw in it.
Yeah, so this is what it says. It says, Haitians were cautioned not to eat any raw food and to boil drinking water or use chlorine tablets.
Okay.
So you're probably totally, I mean, it makes total sense that you wouldn't want to, you know, eat fruits or food that's totally in the ground, but maybe what's in the trees are better. I would think, yeah, that sounds right. I've been telling people not to eat any raw foods because I'm quoting what the ministers of health are saying.
Okay. We were just wondering whether maybe next week we could try to connect you and Dr. Arison, because he's your food magician. He's a wizard. He knows so many things. I mean, I don't know if you've heard him on the program. He seems to have so much information, and it'd be great to be able to share knowledge and wisdom to kind of help each other to heal and move forward. I mean, we in England are not suffering anything that you are, but knowledge is helping us all to move forward. So maybe next week we could try and have a connection between you and Dr. Aris. That would be good. What do you think?
Yes, no, that would be good. I did hear Dr. Harris at one point when he had a guest and she was from the States, and you all were talking about some vegetable that she was making or showing you and your viewers how to make. I it would be good maybe for Dr. Harris to see what I'm sending out. It's right on the front page. On that, it says home remedies for cholera.
Okay.
I just picked it out on the internet and picked out something that was not that was possible, because there are things that require cooking that I know that's not possible for Haitians. Things like, and also things like yogurt, and you know, those were the things that they were mentioning. So I've put a PDF out that I've been sending to Haiti, and we've gotten it translated into Creole that we're sending to our people in Haiti. But I guess what seemed easier for me to tell folks to do is drink some lemon juice to coat your stomach.
Yeah.
We kept saying that. So if the doctor has something else, or if he wants to look at the stuff that I am sending out to make better recommendations, that would be great. It's right on my first front page of that piece, the last piece that's on my Esli Dental blog. If you just go down right after the video, you'll see it. It'll say home remedies for cholera. That's what I'm using. So if he wants to give us better ideas from that, that certainly be welcomed.
Yeah, I think it probably just can enhance what each of you have. And so people have options, you know, just more options, because the more options you have, the stronger and the safer things will be for all of us concerned. So I think it'll just be about broadening our options. Sister Zilly?
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm just going to give you thanks for the hard work. That you do.
But I didn't hear your question. Did you have a question?
Yeah, I was wondering, do you need volunteers to come to Haiti?
No, I don't think so. I mean, I think what we need, for instance, is a group of people who could buy those Max Pure
money
water stuff. And give it to a Haitian-led organization that's actually reaching the people, that can provide the people with self-reliance and not dependency. I mean, we surely don't want people to come to Haiti and get sick, but we do need clean water in Haiti.
Okay.
Right now, that's what we need. Right now, water. So if you know, a fundraiser could be made to buy some of those units, or if clean, you know, other things, you know, because there's other stuff. We used to use bio sand filters, which is not that expensive. I think I paid $3,500 for a unit, and it took care of a whole village. We lost many of ours during the last hurricane, but clean water, clean water, clean water. So those who are listening to my voice, whatever ideas they have, I prefer self-reliance. There's no reason for people to come to give people clean water, but if you can figure out how to give them a biosand filter where they themselves can be trained in getting, capturing rainwater and turning it into clean water, that's important.
Okay. Thank you, Sister Zilly. Thank you for your words. Thank you for sharing what's going on. We will be encouraging our listeners to make donations. They can make donations on the BantuRadio.com chat line page, and they can click directly onto the UHUK, they've heard any money that you wish to donate should go to a Haitian organization. And how much is one of those Pure 01 water purifiers?
Well, I don't want to quote a number. Those who are interested, just go see it. It's on my first, it's not on this latest article, but article before, you'll see it. And just call the company, because the last time we did it was about a year ago. And they gave us a figure that I don't know if that figure is still viable. So you need to check for yourself. But it is fairly expensive. It was over $100,000.
Wow.
But the biosand filters are about $3,500, and obviously they are more manual, and they stay in one place. This one obviously could move from one village to the other because it's put on a truck, and it goes around making clean water.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you very much, Sister Zilly. So
okay, very good.
It bless you.
All right,
and
take care.
Yes,
bye-bye.
Stay strong.
Thank you.
Take care. So we give thanks for Sister Zilly. Thank you, Sister Zilly. She is a human rights lawyer. She's a dancer, she's a writer, and for now she's spending a lot of time and a lot of energy and a lot of passion making sure that we know what's going on in Haiti. We make sure that if we want to support Haiti, we donate money to the right organizations. You heard her say, the Red Cross is not one of those organizations. They are giving Haitian people water that is not drinkable, that is causing them pain. You know, you've heard her say that the Americans said that they've loaned the money and they are paying $25,000 on an investment on interest. $25,000 interest a month on a loan they did not receive. The cholera has been imported from Southeast Asia. So Haitians are suffering. And the hurricane is now on its way. So what we have to do, whatever happens there, they need clean water. In the meantime, hopefully they will go and raid some coconut trees and drink as much coconut water as they possibly can, and mangoes and bananas and all the fruits that lie within a skin. People, good people, Bantu Radio people, please do what you can, donate what you can, have fundraisers, because people seem to think that everything is okay now and we don't need to worry about Haiti anymore. It's not in the news anymore. That news flash has gone. It's still an epidemic. It's still a problem. It's still an issue, and it should still stay with us, and we should still be thinking hard about how we can support our brothers and our sisters. So Sister Zilly said, clean water, clean water, clean water, clean water. So sponsored walks, sponsored swims, sponsored performances, sponsored anything. Just raise the money and send it to an organization that is Haitian based, and you'll find the kind of organizations that you need to be sending your money to in order to support Haiti. If you go to erzilidanto.com and check out there, you'll find the organizations you can send money to and learn more about our sisters and our brothers, our mothers, our fathers, our aunties and our uncles in Haiti, and the power of their resilience. We know the plan and we know their vision, but we have to make our vision stronger than theirs, and so their plan does not come to pass.
Or we could just click here.